Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Andy Reid's the worst.
He really
He's
is.
Just yeah, the worst.
He is the worst.
No, actually, the odds are the worst, and the voting is the worst.
Yeah. Worst odds for Coach of the Year next year, 66-1 already out,
no chance. So stupid. Every single year, 66-1, you'll get for Andy Reid. Like it's not even a bet worth making because you know he's just never going to win it. It's so dumb,
right?
Like you should say 66-1. Heck yeah, I'll take this because he should win it.
He should win it, but he's not going.
He's never
going to
win
because you know who's going to win it, right? Somebody that you don't know right now. Who was that guy yesterday that coaches Carolina? Dave Canales.
We ain't gonna win it.
Well, that's true. He is with Carolina, yeah. But it's gonna be somebody like that.
Maybe it's D'Amico Ryans.
Oh, he's too good to win it now.
With 1 year,
yeah, he's too good. Look at the odds. Raheem Morris as the best at 5-1. New coach Jim Harbaugh second best. Matt LaFleur is up there. D'Amico Ryans is fourth.
Well, Matt LaFleur's not a coach. I mean,
Dave Canales is fifth. Gerard Mayo is sixth. Jonathan Gannon is seven.
Jonathan Gannon, come on.
Michael McDonald, Shane Steichen. Then you got Sean McVay, Antonio Pierce, Brian Callahan, Dan. Like,
where's D'Amico Ryans?
I said he was fourth.
Oh, fourth. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I said
14-1, but he's had too much success too early. There's no chance he gets coach of the year.
Yes. He's so there's expectations with him.
Yeah.
You need one that there's none.
Andy Reid, Dennis Allen, Kevin Stefanski, and Todd Bowles all have the same odds to be coach of the year. Let it breathe. Just let it breathe.
Stefanski already got it, right?
He's won it twice, Josh. He's got more Coach of the Year honors than Andy Reid has. No.
Oh, my goodness. And Dennis Allen's just not because they're like, you guys are going to be garbage.
Right.
We're going to be safe to say you're garbage.
What do Andy Reid, Dennis Allen, Kevin Stefanski, and Todd Bowles all have in common?
No chance to win Coach of the Year?
That's right.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Andy Reid is grouped in with those three.
Mm. It's from the A16. What are you guys talking about? Andy Reid has won Coach of the Year 2 years in a row, now going for three. It's true. Yes. Yes. Yeah. The ultimate one. He held up the ultimate trophy. It wasn't Coach of the
9-1-3. Andy's going to have an undefeated regular season to get Coach of the Year, and he still won't get it.
Yeah, probably.
They'll go 17-0 and win the Super Bowl. They're like, Todd Bowles did good. He was 9-8.
I know. Andy Reid speaking yesterday at the owners' meeting, 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Staying away from dynasty talk.
It's up to you guys to do the dynasty thing. I'm back to training camp and kind of the meat and potatoes of the thing, and so that's
training camp.
That's where I go. I just make sure the guys come back in shape and we're ready to roll. But that's kind of what the part that we'll control there, and make sure the guys build a nice foundation up at training camp.
It's kind of what he said after the season. Like, they can talk about, players talk about all they want. It's fine, whatever. Just be ready to go.
Yeah.
You guys do you till I get you in St. Joe and then you're mine.
Here's the offseason plan. Go to West Hollywood, shut down a gym,
yeah.
Make the patron stand outside for 2 hours
Correct.
And be ready to
Correct.
Go.
Have some pizza in Cleveland.
Right. Work out in LA, go to Barbados.
Yeah, do all that stuff.
Have Pat camp.
Yep. Andy's not about it. So.
Yeah, every year in the NFL is a new year, right? So every team's a different team, and the guys know how I go with that. Don't get caught up in too much of the fluff, you know. So we just roll. Put another Tommy Bahama shirt on and let's go, man.
He ain't getting caught up in the fluff.
No,
that's good.
Fluff. I mean, have you ever had a fluff sandwich
Don't
with
get
peanut
caught
butter?
Up in the fluff.
It's good. A fluffer nutter. Have you ever had one of those?
No.
Marshmallow fluff and peanut butter.
No.
On white bread with a slice of bologna and some ketchup.
Mayo.
No, throw the mayo, you might as well. Or you can go with aioli to feel like you're high class.
Ain't about the fluff. No fluff.
Which is a shame because fluff is good. It mixes well with the peanut butter.
No fluff. Show's brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
Every year is a new year. That's everybody's knee is his own knee. That's correct. A Vermeil line right
yep,
there.
Yep. Every year is a new year.
Yeah.
Players come and go. Organizations stay the same. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
Every year this happens. Every year it's infuriating. And this year it's the answer is J.J. McCarthy. So the latest quarterback rocketing up the draft board without playing any more games late before the draft.
Out of nowhere, the Washington Commodes are taking J.J. McCarthy.
He could go at two to the Commanders. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network.
It's been really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
I also question, you know, rival executives on other teams. Are they really telling the truth, or are they trying to spin stuff to get people to do things?
I don't know. Another and why mediocre does quarterback rising through the ranks
is that really true, though? Like, what is a rival GM trying to do? Let's think about that for a second.
I don't know.
When I talk to rival executives, so what are they trying to do?
Tell you the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tell you what others should do.
And why would the GM of the Commodes, no matter how close they are to certain people in the league, why would you tell anybody and show anybody what you're going to do?
Well, you're at two, and it doesn't matter.
Well, it does for trade purposes, because if you're really in love with a guy, you're not going to get a high trade offer because everybody's going to just lowball you, right?
But if J.J. McCarthy's awesome and you want him and, you know, Washington covets him, then you got to go get him because J.J. McCarthy's the hottest new name.
But I was going to say to you, who's coveting J.J. McCarthy?
They all
right
are.
Now?
He's the best. Don't you know?
No.
In 2 weeks, he's now the best.
No.
I mean, behind Caleb Williams. But he's the definitive number two. I mean, listen to Jim Harbaugh, now the Chargers head coach, his college coach. He says he had the best pro day he's ever seen.
Wow.
The workout JJ had, I've been to a lot of pro day workouts and watched quarterbacks in a row. That was the best I've ever seen.
Did he go to Michigan's pro day?
Doing a pro day. I mean, not only was feet great and the individual drills and but then he started throwing and it was like every throw was, you know, right there. I thought our receivers did a great job too. They all had a great day. But that was the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then, you know, hear coaches and GMs, you know, come up to me and say, hey, you know, great job with JJ, and you know, we, like I predicted, once they were around him, I was hearing the stories about how he is on the board, how he is, on the field, the little things, the intangibles. I mean, it was absolutely no surprise whatsoever. But there was raving. I mean, it was great to hear, incredible here. I know it was sincere. It was unsolicited. You know, but I mean, there's numerous GMs, numerous head coaches. Couldn't say enough good things. And it was. I mean, you could just see it, right? I mean,
are we done with this filibuster yet?
Day, right? Literally, I've never seen a better one.
Enough for him.
It was the greatest workout ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
Okay,
thanks, I mean,
Jim.
People are telling me how great a job I did with him.
Did you catch that one? People were coming up to me and telling me how great I am.
Unsolicited, too. They were talking about how great I did with JJ.
Just dripping with greatness when it comes to developing quarterbacks. Jim, would you take him in the draft? Well, we've got a guy, so he's got a cover. He can say all that kind of stuff. I would love for a college coach to say stuff like that and not draft his player. And then you go, wait a second. You said that this was the greatest player ever, and now you've got the number two overall pick, and you're not drafting your own guy. The Chargers have it out. They've got a quarterback in place. They don't need a quarterback, so they don't have to worry about that. But what if J.J. McCarthy is sitting there, Josh, when the L.A. Chargers pick at, what, number seven or whatever it is, right?
They don't need it.
Well, if this is the greatest quarterback you've ever seen.
It's the greatest workout he's ever seen.
I mean,
you know. Greatest workout he's ever seen. It doesn't say greatest quarterback. Greatest workout.
I mean.
I've never seen him throw. I've never seen anybody throw like that.
Well, if you've never seen anybody throw like that, then don't you have to say we're going to draft this guy and try to make our quarterback position better? I think the Chargers should go out there and draft him.
That's why Jim Harbaugh is saying he's going to Washington at two.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It's just so silly. J.J. McCarthy was nowhere near the top five 3 weeks ago.
Right, nowhere near it. From the text line, from the 563, Kling, you saw the Iowa-Michigan game. McCarthy looked just like a guy. It's puzzling.
Yes,
yes.
I know. I know.
And this is where we are, guys.
I'm not wowed by him.
I'm not either.
Winner. Winner. Absolutely. Winner. Good team. Really good team. Really good college leader. I don't think he's going to be a great pro at all.
I don't think he is either. I'm still in love with Michael Penix Jr.
You're the only one.
I know I am.
He's nowhere close
to
anything.
I know, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be the best of the bunch. And Jaden Daniels, I love watching that kid play as well. Like,
isn't he short known now?
Who the hell cares? Like, what is J.J. McCarthy doing today that he didn't do that made him better? This is the silly season. This is why we need the draft.
It's so stupid.
It makes me mad. Because leaving the end of the season, Josh, Penix was considered a great prospect, and people love Michael Penix. And then the offseason happened, and J.J. McCarthy went out there and threw some nice spirals in a controlled, sterile environment, and everybody in khakis watching went, oh, this is wonderful.
Jim, you did such a great job.
Way to go, Jim. Let me pat you on the back.
You did such a great job.
Yeah.
Such a great job with him.
Like everybody,
nice job raising your boy.
Yeah.
So Jim Harbaugh just laid it on thick.
Yeah. Oh, he's the greatest I've ever seen. Yeah. You better take him. If he's there when the Chargers pick and they don't take him, then Harbaugh is what we know he is, a fraud.
No, he can say, well, we didn't. His organization didn't need a quarterback.
You take the best available talent.
You trade him to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
That would be awesome. He drafts J.J. McCarthy, and they trade Justin Herbert to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. That's what you should do if you really love this guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if the commodes are going to take him at 2, then you got no chance at, what, 5 or 7?
Well, no, he's just like, okay, I hope all this stuff's true. Commodes should take him at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll not be their franchise quarterback.
No, J.J. McCarthy's got bust written all over him, especially going to Washington.
Late risers, I just don't
I'm
like.
I'm not in on, no.
I don't like the.
What'd you do in the regular
out of
season?
Nowhere. Now they're the guy?
Well, it is March, and this guy's got. No, it's March.
Just wowed him with pro day, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, meanwhile, says this was the toughest. We'll get to that next.
Fesco in the morning, weekday starting at 6 on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man. Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Changes are here. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, the NFL's hybrid kickoff model has passed, according to sources. They tweeted out, here is what it will look like, and it will be a lot more fun.
Okay.
It's a picture of a kickoff start line.
Right.
It is a picture of a landing zone.
Mm-hmm. A picture of a setup zone.
And a setup zone. Dave Tobe has weighed in.
We have to do a better job coaching the head out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
An OOB spot.
Out of bounds.
And a 25 yards from spot of kick spot.
You know, so. You could pick up a piece of grass and put it down. That's all you need to do, really. You know, you just can't have a foreign, like a dime or something like that to bring on the field to put down. That's what they're looking for right there, so. It really doesn't affect us. You know, we don't do it.
I think Tobe understands this and no one else.
Coach Tobe does a great job.
Yeah. I think the one thing that you're going to have to do is get out your paper, get out your pencil, and get ready to take some notes, because what we're about to go through with this new kickoff format and this new kickoff rule is going to be very hard for a lot of us to understand and think about, because it's very complicated when you start to, you know, boil it down. And here's what they're going to do. They're trying to, I guess, make the kickoff more exciting. It's going to be a one-year trial, allegedly, for this. And, you know, we talk about player safety, which is one of the biggest lies in the world today.
Increase return rates and help... Again, avoid more collisions.
Yeah, but also they keep rolling out player safety is a scam. That's a lie. The NFL doesn't care about that. We move on. The rule proposed, according to the league's release, is designed to resemble a typical scrimmage play by aligning players on both teams closer together and restricting movement to reduce space and speed and to promote more returns. It permits the replay official to automatically review whether a free kick legally touched the ground or a receiving team player in the landing zone.
Okay. We have to do a better job coaching the head out of the game.
So the rule establishes that 21 of the 22 players on the field at the time of the kickoff will be on the receiving team's side of the 50. The only player who would be on the other side of the 50 would be the kicker, who would still kick the ball from his own 35-yard line. So everybody's on the other side of the 50 lined up. The other 10 players on the kicking team would line up across the opposing team's 40. The return team would have at least 7 players, and often closer to 9, in what's known as the setup zone, a 5-yard area between their own 35 and 30. Return teams are allowed a maximum of 2 players to line up in the landing zone, which is a newly conceived area between the goal line and the return team's 20.
Hot zone?
I've just blacked out all of a sudden because I don't have any idea what the hell's going on.
I know.
That landing zone is a critical piece of the proposal because the ball must either touch a player or the ground in that zone before anyone other than a return specialist can move. Let me rephrase that, or let me read that again, because again, I've blacked out. The landing zone is a critical piece of the proposal because the ball must either touch a player or the ground in that zone before anyone other than a return specialist can move. So going into training camp, we're reteaching tackling and we're teaching an entirely new kickoff. Is anybody going to get to offense or defense during training camp this year?
We don't get nervous when you get closer to the end zone. We get harder.
Other aspects include kickoffs must be returned if they hit the landing zone. Kickoffs that hit in the landing zone and go into the end zone must be returned or downed. If down, the ball will be returned to the 20-yard line.
Are you kidding me?
Kickoffs that go into the end zone, either by being downed or by going out of the back of the end zone for touchbacks, would go to the return team's 30-yard line. Kickoffs that come up short of the landing zone would be treated like it went out of bounds and the return team would get the ball on their own 40-yard line. Do you all understand that now? From the 8-5-9, so onside kicks are dead. That's kind of what it looks like to me.
Which they were dead before. Pretty hard to do one this past year even.
Go to hell.
But yet they vetoed the 4th-and-20 onside kick thing.
That seems bad.
From the 913, none of this sounds that complicated. Well, you must have gone to an Ivy League school, pal. Okay? Because for those of us that are going to be sitting at the game getting drunk, we're not going to have any idea where the hell the landing zone is, except in the car on the way home. Or on the floor. There's the landing zone. Bill's passed out again.
But it needed to be said.
There are 3 people that get this. Tobe, Mitch, and Danan. That's all. And I'm good with that.
The three of them
got it. I'm cool with it.
I mean, they had to come up with a color-coded graphic to let people know what this was about.
Yeah.
You've got the kickoff start line.
Marriott.
You've got the setup zone. You've got the landing zone. I do love the landing zone.
The landing zone sounds great.
Right. And then you have the activation zones just outside the stadium where you two can pay $75 for a cup of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I like the OOB spot. Haven't we been looking for that for years?
I would think.
And then you have the 25 yards from the spot of kick spot.
Sure.
What are we doing here?
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Well, that's not great.
Is there
being a fan of football? I like football, so I love football.
Is there going to be a coach on the sidelines whose sole job is to yell go?
Hey, coach.
When the ball hits the landing zone or someone touches it inside the landing zone? I mean, there's got to be somebody that's going to yell go,
right? We're going hard and long.
Coach,
elite at football.
From the 913, the landing zone is where my dog drops a deuce every morning.
Yeah, it's all over the place, too. I wish the landing zone had better range there.
From the 785, so where's the danger zone? Yeah, there's a highway to it.
There's
somewhere.
A highway to it, yeah. It's outside the stadium, though.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
From the 620, hopefully they'll paint this on the field.
Oh, they'll have a great graphic. Don't get me wrong. They'll have awesome.
You're already looking at the graphic. I know, but I'm saying
they'll put it over the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll look great.
Great question from the 913. Do you think the 49ers will learn this?
No.
No.
No. No.
From the 816, Bob, I heard you talking, but didn't hear a thing you said. Yeah, that's kind of how I am on
it,
too.
No gas.
No, I'm with you. No idea.
There's just too much, man. There's just way too much.
Right now, he's a four-phase guy.
We have eliminated tackling, and now we have drastically changed the kickoff. There go your 6 weeks in St. Joe.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right. So it's through. It's reality. Learn it. Live it. Love it. Tobe's got it. That's all I care about. Tobe's got this. Tobe thinks it's great, I'm sure.
Oh, Tobe's in the lab right now, as they like to call it, right?
Yeah.
So what's your strategy here to get it into the landing zone?
He and Butker are in the midst of a meeting right now.
Oh, yeah. They're talking.
They've already got this thing figured out.
So your goal is to kind of angle it into the landing zone to make it hit the ground so your guys can take off, get a jump start down there. But then you've got all these other guys lined up within 5 yards that are going to try to block them. So return should be up, right?
That's what they're planning, yeah.
Because if you kick it out of the back of the end zone, now they're going to give the team the ball at the 30-yard line.
Yeah.
So you want to find a way to get it in the landing zone.
And so, yes, for those of you that watched XFL, they did this. So
yes, that's where they came from. So they stole it, but they didn't credit the XFL.
No, of course not. No, why would they?
We're stealing your idea. How about some credit?
No.
Nah.
No.
What is this, the initials game?
All right.
Hybrid K-Fan kickoffer. Would be suing the NFL right now.
Yeah. And Kim Mulkey, too. She'd sue.
Kim Mulkey would definitely be suing.
I'm fed up.
Patrick Mahomes.
We all wish we knew where the landing zone was.
Speaking to NFL radio over the weekend, part of the 101 banquet.
I don't know, Jim, is that in the landing zone or not?
Admits this season was the toughest.
I think it was just overcoming adversity. No one turned on each other. I think that was the biggest thing. Probably the most stressful season I probably had as a leader and as a quarterback. But not in a bad way. It just helped me become better as a man and as a leader, and how to continue to relate and push through things. I mean, I thought we did a lot of great things throughout the season, and it wasn't necessarily showing on the field, but yeah, I could see the work in practice. And instead of hanging our heads, we kind of kept pushing and kept getting better and better. And it showed that if you continue to do that and continue to come to work every single day with the right mindset, things usually turn for the better. And that's what happened this season.
What kind of gives you that confidence and that belief, man, to continue to be able to play at such a high level with this team and even win more rings?
I think it's that culture I was talking about. Obviously, we celebrate. We have a great time. I think you can see that on the football field, and we enjoy being able to go out and compete together, but we push each other to be better every single day. And that starts with Coach Reed, Clark Hunt, Brett Veach, the leaders in our organization, and they try to push us to be the best team that we can be, and they bring in a lot of great people that want to win. And it's easy for me to go out there and practice hard, but whenever Travis Kelce, Hall of Fame, one of the best players of all time, not only tight ends, is the hardest working guy at practice, it's easy to say, hey, you need to pick it up a little bit because mm-hmm. you look at this guy right here. Look what he's done. And so when you have great leaders throughout your whole entire organization, you want to go out there and make the most of it and not have any regrets at the end of your career. And so that's something that I'm going to continue to do.
I love that last year was the toughest and they won a Super Bowl. Like, just keep adding fuel. You know when it was tough? Last year was tough, man. You had to overcome all this stuff, and look what you did. Look what you accomplished.
Yeah, but it isn't going to get easier going forward.
No, definitely not. But then you lean on those things. Remember when it was tough? What'd you do? You persevered. You stayed with it, and you won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you bared down,
and you won a freaking
Super Bowl.
You played
for the name on the front of your jersey.
Like, they've been through everything. They've been through everything.
Yeah. Wait till they're going through it without Spags so and great. Kelce because they're on the beach permanently. Andy Reid's taking the.
Then we
done.
Just channel back to that time where you thought it was tough then. No, it's tough now. It's you tough go out right there and now. Get it.
Yeah.
You go out there and get it.
From the 913, was the landing zone in that alternative dimension we talked about last week? Yes, I think it is.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yes.
Probably as well.
From the 785, does this kill the traditional kicker? No. We still need to have somebody that's going to bang it through the uprights, you know? So I'm all for keeping a guy like Harrison Bucker. I think it makes the kicker, quite frankly, more important right now. Because the last thing you want to do is kick it into the end zone.
Got to have some placement. Got to get in the landing zone.
Yeah. You want to get it in the landing zone.
Yes.
Who's gotten it in the landing zone before? Raise of hands. B-Dub, no?
Well, I mean, you got two kids.
Yeah. How many do you have again?
Two.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're in the landing zone.
But they came at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe not. Maybe not.
You doubled down.
It's hard to tell. It is hard to tell. Mike Greenberg thinks it's July.
Or he's just, like, losing his mind.
This comes from ESPN. Because this is March. We've been told that since the beginning of March started. Right. It's been tweeted a lot. But Mike Greenberg apparently thinks it's July because we're really going to have this conversation.
Right.
Really?
Because
can't you get to, Justin Fields be a number one quarterback again?
Right.
Can't you get to, is there competition for the Chiefs?
Right.
Can't you get to
Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott?
Who's the number one quarterback? You're going to go with, can UConn beat an NBA team?
If they were in the NBA's Eastern Conference, would they make the playoffs? I think I'm looking at teams that are 8 games under 500 in the play-in right now. They're better than
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, Greeny.
And Orlovsky.
I'm not doing that. No.
I got a vote to pick with Orlovsky.
No.
He suckers me into a bet. Like, I got to make, he's betting me dinner at the Polo Bar just because I can get in and he can't, and the next thing you know, it's a 9-1 odds, and he's like trying to make me a bet on dinner and all of this. It's ridiculous.
Come on, Jay Will.
UConn's an NBA team.
They're not. They execute like one, but their talent level, I would not say, would be able to make the play-in.
Mere fact that we're having this conversation,
possibly,
I think, says
they
it all.
Had no chance.
I love the other guys are like, we're not doing this. Are you insane? We're not doing this.
It is the dumbest sports argument in America today. Could such and such college team beat the worst pro team at any sport?
No.
And the answer is 100% no. I'm not even saying 8 times out of 10, 9 times out of 10. I'm saying 10 times out of 10 because
you're getting mauled physically.
No college team can beat a pro team. It's not possible. Even the worst professional team, like let's say the Carolina Panthers or the Charlotte Bobcats or the New Orleans Pelicans, which all of a sudden are a story now because Zion lost 10 pounds. All of the pro teams have great players. And the best college team, as we're told, has many players that won't go pro. They'll go pro in something else like Enterprise Rent-A-Car or Coca-Cola or AT&T or that band girl that was crying in the insurance commercial. It's lunacy. The Wolverines, Crimson Tide, they're not beating the Carolina Panthers. Everybody on Carolina was one of the best players, if not the best player on their college team. You're not rolling in with freshmen, 18-year-old kid, 19-year-old kids, and saying, go out there and beat an NBA team or go out there and beat an NFL team or go out there and beat a Major League Baseball team. It's just not happening. And I just absolutely hate when the gas bags on sports talk radio or wherever go to that. I think this team could beat. No,
no,
no, no, they can't. No, they cannot. And on any planet, they are not going to do that. They're just not.
And why don't we just try it?
Well, you're going to have to spend a lot of money to get these kids, you know, money.
Right. So let's do an NIL game.
Yeah.
National champion at the end of national champion at the end of the season.
Right.
Although I may have to wait a while. Or give me a team that's been eliminated.
I mean, you're delusional if you think a college team can go in and beat a pro team.
UConn cuts down the nets.
Right.
We'll give them like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they take an eliminated team from the postseason in the NBA and let's play.
And let's play. But watch them get dumped. If you're that eliminated team in the NBA, you better go out there and bust your ass in this one, too, because you could just lie down and say, screw this, I'm not playing.
I'd watch it.
Oh, you would definitely watch it. It would be very entertaining from a TV standpoint. But I also think that's why you put like $1 million prize purse out there.
Jontae in the under. But
yeah, Jontae's taking the under.
I will watch it.
Yeah.
What's Shohei taking?
Shohei's got the over.
No.
Yeah. Shohei, who didn't take questions, and I'm supposed to believe everything he said?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
I don't believe anything athletes say.
Yes, you're supposed to be doing that.
I've been around this business too long to know I'm not getting told the truth most of the time, and I'm okay with that. But don't sit there and go, I don't understand why you don't believe Shohei Ohtani. Because he didn't take questions. He sat up there, read a statement, and left. If you are innocent, you are defending yourself. Give Kim Mulkey credit. At least she's making up her defense.
Are you kidding me?
I wish Shohei Ohtani said, not going to work, buddy.
Yeah. No, so this
I'm fed up.
It happens every year that somebody goes, I think UConn could take on the Pelicans. Who is the worst team in the NBA this year? Chicago?
Lakers, I think. I don't know.
Lakers? They won the in-season.
Oh, that's right.
And they have not been the same since winning that in-season championship. The Lakers have two of the most useless championships in sports history. They won the bubble championship.
I don't think they're useful. They're
and they won the in-season tournament.
They won games that were presented to them. In a tournament fashion.
And I do love the in-season tournament again, but the Lakers, like, raising a banner for the in-season you made the tournament.
You want to make this a big deal? We made it a big deal. We're raising the banner.
We got the bubble championship and the in-season tournament. How'd you do the rest of it? Well, we didn't do so good in the other stuff, but we got that bubble championship.
Pistons. How could I forget the Pistons? They're awful.
The Pistons, that's right. Yeah. Didn't they lose, like, 20-some in a row? Yeah. The Pistons are not losing to UConn. UConn will not beat the Pistons.
12-60. Or the Pistons.
They'll beat UConn.
They'd roll them.
Right?
Roll UConn.
Yeah.
They'd roll into UConn's gym and roll
them. Yeah, right. Exactly.
You don't got to play at the Palace. We can go to UConn.
Maybe the 16-56 Spurs.
Ooh.
Wemby would
just own a college team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, these guys are professional athletes. We're not talking about having the scrubs from, you know, Topeka West on the end of your bench and thinking like, oh, we can go in there and beat the – we can take care of the Clippers. No. No, you can't.
Well, you got a shot at Topeka West.
I don't know because I'm thinking of like T.J. Watley or somebody like that. Mm. We're gonna roll in with Furphy and go out there and beat the Pistons. No, you're not. You're not.
Mm-mm.
It's not happening.
Disturbing headline from the Daily Mail. You aren't going to like this.
No, that you're just not. But I can't argue it.
Headline. Playground bullies earn more than socially awkward children and enjoy high-flying careers, research suggests.
They also smoke more.
Research suggests that children who are aggressive at school tended to take up high-flying and highly paid careers, while those deemed more socially awkward or emotionally fragile went on to earn less.
It's true. Look around your office, right? Look at the big swinging salespeople out there that are like bullying people out of their money. Hey, they got that good personality. And then you got the socially awkward people who talk for a living like us.
Mm-mm-mm. Report author Professor Emilia Del Bono, not to be confused with Bob Del Giorno.
Yes.
That's we're all frantically typing to get it get
Bob
it first.
Bob Del Giorno. I'm Bob Del Giorno, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper traffic.
I won.
I would try Burlington Street.
Amelia Del Bono said, quote, "We were surprised to find a strong link between aggressive behavior at school and higher earnings in later life." Like, she's disappointed, like, crap, we were hoping this study would go a different way.
This was like a 50-year study where they studied this. Kids that were more aggressive, more outgoing, if you will, bigger personalities, that people with bigger personalities tend to do better. It's just a fact of life of who you are.
Not to take the message that bullying is good, but that the findings highlight the need to help children become victims in the playground to ensure they go on to fulfill their potential. I suppose it means
not
encouraging
every socially awkward kid is getting picked on by a bully, though.
I suppose it means encouraging your child to stand their ground rather than be aggressive, she says.
But not every kid that's picked on is considered socially awkward.
However, study does find that the bullies also more likely to have smoked and have been arrested. So there is a silver.
Yeah,
there is a silver lining.
I love that. It's the last line of the article. However, like they're more likely to have smoked and been arrested.
Correct. There's that too. It's like side effects include smoking and arrest.
Yeah, but damn, they're earning more money. But
they're making more money. They get more smoke breaks than you do.
I think it's fantastic. We studied this for 50 years, and we came to the conclusion that bullies will earn more money than a socially awkward person, but yet they smoke more.
Yeah.
It's not traffic. It's Del Giorno.
Well, bully that smokes and earns more, or socially awkward kid that has clean lungs and makes no money. You decide. I don't know.
Bob got a chance to make a difference. He'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning, weekdays starting at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Josh, I'm going to jump in here for a second and just clarify something that's been going around the internet. A lot of people think they're falling for a fake Adam Schefter account today with this new kickoff rule. No, that's real.
Yep. Landing zones.
Yes. Landing zones. When they interview draft prospects now, are they going to ask them how they deal with the landing zone? Are you good in the landing zone? How much experience do you have with the landing zone?
I don't think you can ask those questions.
You can't ask those questions.
I believe those have been ruled out at the combine. You can't ask them if they're any good in the landing zone.
So every year in sports, I do believe that there is a new word or term that comes to our lexicon that we didn't know that year going in. And during the year, I'm always like, this seems like a new word that we just kind of stumbled upon, right? Mm-hmm. This year, we're going to be hearing about hip thrust tackles.
Hip drop
tackles.
Yes.
And landing zones. I don't know, Jim, if he's capable of getting into the landing zone or not. Excuse me, Tony?
I want the field to light up when they hit the landing zone.
Is there like a sound effect, like a slot machine goes off?
We just turn this whole thing into the Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Just be done with it.
Just be done with it. Slime people when they get into the landing zone?
Yeah.
Doesn't that happen now? Like, you get slimed when you go in the landing zone?
I think so. I think them's the rules.
Okay. That would be great. Just do everything that Nickelodeon had in landing zone slime.
Yeah, why not?
You know what they're
just
actually
understands it.
You know what they should really do? Each kickoff, the team that is kicking should be able to present themselves to the other team. One of the things from Double Dare. Remember, you had to pick the nose to get the flag, or look through the big pancakes with syrup and butter to try to find the flag. That's how we should do kickoffs now.
With a challenge,
like that obstacle course at the end, right? Each team should pick, how do you want to find the football? You can either go with the big pancakes and the pat of butter, and you got to look for the. Meanwhile, your team's running down the field, and then they can,
you
can destroy people on the big pancakes. Or if it's up the nose, people are picking up the nose, trying to find the big football up there. You're running down the field. You hit the guys. He's trying to pick boogers. Like, all of those old school Double Dare games that were in that obstacle course at the end should be how you now get the football off a kickoff. Because it's just as stupid as this landing zone thing. I'm not opposed to change. This just seems a bit much to me. Just get rid of the kickoff.
Show's brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
Yeah, so if you're just tuning in, the new kickoff is the XFL kickoff. The NFL isn't crediting the XFL or thanking them for their idea. They just blatantly stole their idea. Like, literally ripped off the XFL.
Like, all the best ideas.
Well, it's similar to the XFL. Yeah. It's just that we're going to go with an NFL rule instead of an XFL rule.
Yeah. We got an agreement where we let them survive another season as a combined league with somebody.
What if there's a hip drop tackle in the landing zone?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I think then you are sent to the UFL, I believe. I believe that happens. All right, speaking of new rules, you had a chance to make a difference.
I did yesterday. I took a survey. Yeah.
How'd you get on this list?
With the at-bat app on Major League Baseball. Okay. I think everybody gets this. Like, and I will credit Major League Baseball. They ask.
I haven't gotten the at-bat app the last couple of years.
They list legit questions for you. Like they want to know, like, who do you think is going to win the American League Cy Young Award? I got to name three people. Jones.
Let me rephrase this another way for
Johnson,
you, sir.
Smith.
Can you name three pitchers?
Yeah, right. So I put that screwball guy down from Detroit that we didn't know the other day. I put Cole Reagans, and then I put Lou Feilerman down as one of them.
Never heard of him.
Lou Feilerman. I think I once got kicked out of a game, Lou Feilerman. Grabbing that in his back pocket.
So I put Lou Feilerman down as one of the names. If you don't know who Lou Feilerman is, just do yourself a favor and Google it. He's new here. I'm on this survey for Major League Baseball.
Survey says,
right, who's going to win the MVP? Who's going to win?
Top three answers on the board. Here's the question.
A couple of those type of questions.
Who will win the MVP?
But then they get into some of the questions about the new rules. Did you know the pitch clock is shorter this year? 18 seconds as opposed to 20 seconds. Did you know that going into the season?
I did not.
They reduced the pitch clock time, right? So 18 seconds with no runner on. You got to run around. It's now 15 seconds. Throw the damn ball is what they're telling you. Let's go. Also, they've limited mound visits this year. Did you realize that? You now only get 4 mound visits this year.
Are we still going to show them on the scoreboard so we know how many we got left?
Yes. Yeah. After you figure out midway through the season what the hell that mound visit left was or whatever was up there, right?
It was, MVL, wasn't there something? Mound visit.
I don't remember.
Remaining MVR or something.
Yeah,
there was something
weird. Like, what the hell is that?
I don't know what that is. And it was mound visits.
It was the mound visit. So they're going from 5 to 4, and then they ask for a comment. Do you like this? I go, yes, because it relieves, like, out-of-shape old men from waddling out to the mound and taking a day to talk to some pitcher who's got a boo-boo.
That's a good use of the extra comment portion.
Yeah, right?
On the survey.
That's what I put on that. And so that's pretty cool. So Major League Baseball is trying to streamline everything. Like, Major League Baseball, give them credit. They're like, all right, enough of this. We're making this game as simple as we possibly can. Rob Manfred isn't here for baseball excuses anymore, which is what I love about Rob Manfred. He does not have time for your boo-boos and your ailments and your 6 weeks because, you closed a car door and your belt got caught in it. You know, whatever the case may be, like, Rob Manfred just doesn't have time for baseball nonsense, which is why I really like Rob Manfred. So baseball's streamlining everything, and then football comes out with hip drop tackles, landing zones, hot zones, OOB zones, all of this kind of stuff. They're making it harder for the referees.
Oobs,
they're making
they're
it
called.
The oobs zone, right? They're making
it. They have the oobs and the landing zone.
Yeah, all of that stuff is fantastic.
I think, according to this chart I looked at.
Yes. And so you're making it harder for your refs. You've opened an entirely new things for fans to complain about too, right? We have now all just become experts on the hip thrust tackle and landing zones.
Yes.
And we will all complain about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When the season starts, we got to get a kicker who can get it in the landing zone. We can't do these hip thrust tackles. We're going to think every tackle's a hip thrust tackle. The hip thrust tackle one to me is the one where I have to say the NFL really messed up. We'll all get used to this new kickoff thing. It's a 1-year experiment. If it doesn't work, they'll go back to the new one. I think there can be some fun, with this new football thing or with this new kickoff thing. But this hip thrust tackle or this hip drop tackle that they're talking about now, Josh, has just opened a Pandora's box that I don't think the NFL really wants to open, because every commentator is going to be second guessing the referees. They're going to be second guessed more than they've ever been second guessed before. You think they're second guessed on pass interference and catch calls? Every single play, they're going to be second guessed now on whether or not that was a hip drop tackle. Monday morning quarterbacking on TV and radio, coaches are going to get ripped for it. People are going to lose games for these hip drop tackles. This is a bad deal by the NFL.
And I thought of it more from a fan perspective, because we freak out about what is a catch already. So we're really going to have massive social media debates now about whether or not that was a legal tackle or not. I don't want that. I'm not interested in that. I think you've crossed a line that didn't need to be crossed. You're making it more confusing for your referees.
Right.
You're bringing more. You're going to bring more second guessing to the said referees. Mm-hmm. You're going to bring more controversy where you just we're just going to be wasting time with this.
Right. It's bad. It's bad
it's
for the NFL.
It's a tackle, man.
Yeah.
It's a tackle.
And just because your offense has been going down for the last 4 years and you can't think of a way to make the offense better, now you're going to try to limit defense from tackling?
We're going to have to determine if someone's hips, legitimately, hips are dropping. That's why it's called hips are dropping intentionally to try to bring somebody to the ground.
Well, as they say,
and
hips
whether
don't
or not
lie.
They made also contact below the knee.
And here's the other thing, too. Like, you're judging intent, Josh. You're judging intent at full speed. At full speed. We watch these replays in slow motion. It's easier for us a million miles away to say, oh, yeah, that was a hip drop tackle. You've been on the field for an NFL game, right? You're down there for most of them, except for COVID. You sat in the front row. How fast does the game move?
Fast.
Because
Super fast.
I've been down there a couple of times, only in Denver at the end of games with 2 minutes to go, and we stand in the end zone, and I'm like, oh, my God, this game moves fast. And you're down there on the field. It moves fast, right? Just, like, it is so fast.
It's okay to just tackle people.
It moves so fast, and you're going to ask referees to judge this now?
Judge the intent of, well, no, he was dropping his hips there to with intent to cause harm.
I just hate it. So
now he's trying to bring somebody down.
So baseball is out here, you know, trying to streamline things, make things easier. Let's speed this game up. Let's go. No more fat men with windbreakers on standing on the mound, scratching their ass, talking about where they're going to get a steak tonight. We're done with all that. We're making the game easy. We're streamlining this thing. And football's adding in this hip drop tackle, which
correct.
Is going to be, I can't tell you how much of a controversy this rule is going to be all during football season. I think the NFL has done such a great job of distancing itself from stuff like this, but you have now opened Pandora's box. And now as we sit here and talk about it, it won't be a factor at all next year because the refs aren't going to call it.
That could be too. They might just avoid it.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. We're being spied on at work and we don't know why and we don't like it. We're going to just, right?
Right.
We're going to discuss it next. Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.